can handle whatever you tell me, for I'm your God. I'm your God, yeah, yes I am. I hear him saying, I can handle whatever you release from me, because I'm your God, yeah. I'm your God, yeah, yeah. I'm your Father, you can tell me. I'm your Savior, you can tell me. I'm your healer, you can tell me. I'm your Father, you can tell me. I'm your Savior, you can tell me. I'm your Father,
you can tell me.
I'm your Savior,
you can tell me.
I'm your Father,
you can tell me.
Release it to me, yeah. Release it to me, yeah.
Here we are, Lord, today on Gatekeepers Ministry International Blog. Want to welcome everybody, all the kingdom people out there. And you know, we can tell God anything. He is the healer of all healers. He can deliver and set free. We can tell him anything. And this is Pastor Kim Rivera, facilitating Gatekeepers Ministry International Radio Blog on behalf of Evangelist Linda Caceres, and we have an interesting topic that we're going to teach on today. But before we start, let's just open up in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just welcome you onto this line. We ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you minister to every hearer, Lord. In the name of Jesus, do what you want to do, say what you want to say, heal what you want to heal, reveal what you want to reveal. We give you permission, complete permission to do whatever you want to do, Lord. Father, we just give a shout out, Father, not to only those in the U.S., but those in China and Mexico and Peru and France and Germany, Norway, Israel, bless them, Lord. Ghana, Father, Dubai, Egypt, Father, in the name of Jesus, Kenya, Greece, the Philippines, Thailand, Jamaica, Puerto Rico, Namibia, Turkey, Father, in the name of Jesus, and even those who listen to the replay, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Father, that the words that are spoken on this broadcast, Father, will go deep down, Father, into their heart, and root, make a root, Father, and produce much fruit in their lives, Father. In the name of Jesus, reveal things to them that you have not revealed before, Lord. In the name of Jesus, give fresh revelation, Lord, and speak through me, the oracles of God. And Father, I give you all the honor and all the glory. I take none. I just submit myself to what you're saying and what you want to do in the name of Jesus. Again, I say welcome in the name of Jesus. Well, today, for the last few weeks, we talked about the real you. That was the first week I was on. Created for God's glory and purpose. The third week was Know Your Identity. Lesson 4, Enemy of Your Soul. And Lesson 5, Inner Healing. There are so many people, I mean, thousands, millions of people that are suffering from inner wounds, from negative life experiences, and they haven't let them go. They haven't gone through the process to just release them to God. We were never meant to carry them, and so many people are carrying so much stuff in the name of Jesus. And God wants us to be free of that. He sent His Son Jesus to carry all that on the cross. We were never even created to carry it. We can't. So we're going to talk about inner healing. Now, inner healing is a process of being healed and delivered from the effects of emotional trauma due to negative life experiences. Some of these experiences have been rejection, abuse, abandonment, betrayal, and more, leaving mankind without the basic needs. Mankind has basic needs, such as healthy self-esteem, love and acceptance, belonging and safety. And before I go further, I want to let you know that a lot of this information is in my book, Will the Real You Please Stand Up? Getting Beyond Your Past. You can buy it on Amazon or go to our website, UnitedRemnantMinistry.com. Some of this is also from a class that I did at Rivers of Life School of Ministry on inner healing. So I took some information from both. But continuing, mankind has a basic need. And without having these basic needs, it can leave a hole in our personhood and our identity, making us vulnerable to the enemy. Last week we talked about the enemy of our soul, how he takes advantage of negative life experiences and causes trauma to the soul. But God desires to heal our wounds and take our hurts and pains and sorrows from us. He sent Jesus to carry the hurts and pains in the work on the cross. You know, for individuals to walk effectively into the great future God planned, it's so important and imperative to receive inner healing. You don't want to take all this stuff into your future. Many have tried to walk into the future without it and eventually became shipwrecked. Now, one of the first things you do to recognize and admit that you have a need for inner healing, you have to look at the symptoms. When a doctor diagnose something, he looks at the symptoms first. So we're going to dig deep. We're going to do some spiritual x-rays. First of all, let's talk about unforgiveness and easily being offended. This is two symptoms. So we're going to talk about some others. We're going to talk about these two first. Behind unaddressed offense and unforgiveness and bitterness are sure to follow. See what follows unaddressed offense and unforgiveness and bitterness, because it gets down in there when you get offended or someone hurts you or caused some trauma. When unforgiveness and bitterness set in, individuals can begin to hold a grudge that releases a spirit of offense. This spirit of offense is an attitude flowing out of the heart and can become a way of life, causing the individual to get easily offended. It's a sign of the end times. Matthew 24:10 says, "And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another." When people are offended, they are more easily deceived. That's in Matthew 24:11. And it says that many false prophets shall arise and deceive many. And this is the result of verse 10. When offended, if not processed correctly, which we'll talk about later, can cause distorted perceptions and thinking. Many are not able to function properly in their calling due to offense. Oh, my goodness. The spirit of offense cause division, dissension, strife, hurt, and pain. Also pride. It can prevent God from forgiving our sins. It says it in Matthew 6:15, just as clear. If you forgive not men for their trespasses, neither will your Father. It opens up tormentors, the devil, in Matthew 18:34-35. It said, and his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors, so he should pay all that was due to him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if from your heart forgive not everyone his brother their trespass. Also, it can block God from answering prayers. Matthew 11:24-25. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught or something against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespass. It can defile a person. Hebrews 12:15b, it says, let any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and therefore many be defiled. It can give Satan an advantage. Oh my goodness. 2 Corinthians 2:10-11. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything to whom I forgive it, for your sakes forgive it in the person of Christ, lest Satan shall get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. When you don't forgive, the enemy will take advantage of all that stuff you went through, and you give him place. I believe it's in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, it says, give no place to the enemy. When we don't forgive, we open the doors to the enemy. We give him place. It can keep a person out of heaven. Matthew 12:7-21. I'm not saying necessarily, but it can. It all depends on how far you let it go. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even to them. For this is the law and the prophets. In other words, treat people the way you want to be treated. Then it says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. It also hinders our relationship and communication with God and can block the healing of our body and emotions. Out of offense can come manipulation, anger, jealousy, and hatred. Also, perceived offense. King David and Saul. Saul was offended with perceived offense when the women were singing about how David had killed his 10,000s and Saul had only killed thousands. He got offended. He got jealous of David. He got angry, manipulated, started manipulating things, and then he wanted to kill him. Unforgiveness can affect one's health. According to studies, doctors have found there's a huge relationship between forgiveness and health. Oh, my goodness. The fact is, after being hurt, angry, suffering loss, real or false guilt or envy, the blocked love flow profoundly affects the way your body functions, thus your health. Unforgiveness is classified in medical books as a disease. According to Dr. Stephen Stanford, chief of surgery at the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, refusing to forgive makes people sick and keeps them that way. With that in mind, forgiveness therapy is now being used to help treat diseases such as cancer. Wow, forgiveness therapy. Stanford explained, it's important to treat emotional wounds or disorders because they really can hinder someone's reaction to treatment, even someone's willingness to pursue treatment. Wow. Here's some other symptoms to let you know you need some inner healing. Inner rawness and hurt that doesn't seem to go away. Easily irritated with others, even if they aren't doing anything wrong. Feelings of anger, hate, resentment, and bitterness seem to arise at the slightest offense from others. Easily frustrated with everyday chores and responsibilities, little or no tolerance for others, where you expect and demand from them. Overly sensitive about an event in the past. Hard to feel loved. Lashing out at people. Hostility towards God, self, and others. Blaming God for everything. He gives man his own will. God will not violate man's will. Now, he'll allow things to happen for man to change his will. Irresponsible behavior. Perfectionism to make you feel good about yourself. Feelings of hopelessness. Overly opinionated and need to be right. Misplaced identity. You don't know who you are because of the way you've been treated. Some women have been treated so bad, they think that that's normal. Fear of confrontation. Feelings of retaliation easily arising. Being overly critical of others make you feel good about you. Being paranoid or overly suspicious of others. You've been hurt so bad you can't trust people. So you're paranoid about everybody, everything, and suspicious. Some people stay in the house. They don't want to be bothered with people. They don't want to be around people. Overly concerned about what others think about you. Escapism. Escapism is just the meaning of it is to avoid an avoidance of reality, but absorption of the mind into entertainment or imaginary situations or activity to forget. Distorted views of comfort other than receiving the true inner comfort from God. Many will look at TV for comfort at long periods of time. I'm not talking about the normal time, but long periods of time. Spending time in front of the TV, overly seeking attention, food for comfort, drugs, TV, sex, shopping. Some become manipulators and dominate things. They're so distraught and hurt about what happened to the past. I know Joyce Myers always talks a lot about after she went through the abuse from her father. She was like, nobody is ever going to abuse me again. I'm going to manipulate the situation. No one's going to ever hurt me. Approval addicts. Some people have been so rejected, they want everybody's approval to like them. Overly achievers or overcompensated in areas of life to feel important. I know some people that have been through some abuse, and they go to school for everything to make them look smart, to make them feel good, to make them feel like I've done some accomplishments. Self-absorbed. It's all about me. What about me? What about mine? Don't think about anybody else. Problems with being corrected and authority figures. Problems with admitting one is wrong. Victim mentality, which is a learned personality trait that a person tends to look at himself as a victim of the negative actions of others, even when there's not a clear evidence. Feeling worthless and low self-esteem, not being yourself, changing up because you need to fit in. You need to be accepted because you've been rejected so much. Defense mechanism, this is the last one, which is an unconscious emotional defensive wall that goes up when it appears that one is going to be hurt again. One could lash out in fear, anger, denial, isolation, or more. It's really saying, no one will ever hurt me again, or I don't want to deal with that. This is not to be confused with healthy coping skills. I hope you're getting this. I hope this is helping. Now is the time to examine and be honest with yourself and how you feel. The Bible in 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Prove your own self. Know you not that your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. The Message Bible brings it home and says it like this. Test yourself to make sure you are solid in the faith. Don't drift along taking everything for granted. Give yourself regular checkups. You need first-hand evidence, not hearsay, that Jesus Christ is in you. So we got to give ourselves checkups. Spiritually, the Bible says this. One thing I want to tell you, don't deny how you feel. Don't deny how you feel. We know that our feelings can sometimes be fickle, but feelings can help you determine what is going on. Feelings are the fruit of our thoughts and beliefs. Our thoughts and belief system influence our feelings, and our feelings influence our attitude and our behavior. We're not to be led by our feelings, and they do not necessarily speak truth. However, our feelings can alert us of something that is wrong. Feelings should never be ignored, but properly interpreted. Lord, why am I feeling this way? Why do I see things that way, this way or that way? Lord, is it something with what I'm believing? It's not true. When we begin to have negative feelings, we need to get to the root of the problem and address it with God's word. We got to put God's word on it. We got to be real with ourselves, own up to how we feel, and then repent. This brings us to the point where we can be healed by the Holy Spirit. He's the only one that can do it. Other people can point out things and teach us things. But this, I'm teaching in this training or class or broadcast, but I'm pointing to Jesus and just giving you some insight on different symptoms that can let you know you need some inner healing. Remember, we are not meant to carry the wounds. Jesus did that for us on the cross. And we have to totally acknowledge and embrace the work on the cross so total healing and deliverance can be manifested in our lives. You have to embrace it. In Isaiah 53:4, it says, surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Every last one of our sins, present, past, and future, was on him. And not only the sins of our sins, the sins that people done to us, he carried them. In Psalms 147:3, it says, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. This is one of my favorite scriptures, Luke 4:8. It says, Jesus proclaimed, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor and the meek. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to those that are captive, and opening up the sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, people that are bruised by life issues. And then Matthew 11:28-29 says, come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. I know people are tired of going around and around in circles, being offended, dealing with the offense. Well, he can give you rest and show you how to process these offenses. It's not easy. It takes time. It's a process. In 1 Peter 5:7, it says, cast all your cares upon me, for he cares for you. You can release them to him. Release them to him daily, because we go through things daily. Now we're going to talk about embracing your inner healing and ways to process the trauma. There's a lot of this, too. It depends on the age. When you're children, sometimes you need another person to come alongside you, even when you're an adult, to help. First of all, you got to acknowledge and admit you need inner healing and deliverance from the past. A lot of people are in denial. They are in denial. We got to know that God loves us and wants us to be healed. God loves you completely. Just because that situation happened to you does not mean God doesn't love you. Why or he allowed it, I'm not going to even say. God in his ultimate wisdom knows. He is sovereign. But he'll be with you for the healing process. Repent of any negative behavior due to inner wounds. Some of us need to apologize to others that we may have hurt. Hurt people hurt people. I've said that in other broadcasts. Now, here's a big one. Make a decision to forgive. It's not a feeling. It's a decision to forgive those that hurt you. And you got to keep in mind that forgiveness can be instant, but many times the letting go of the pain is a process. Forgiving does not devalue the offense and hurt. I'm going to say that again. Forgiving does not devalue the offense or hurt. Or is it letting someone off the hook for what they have done? God will apply the justice in time. He says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Let God deal with them. Now, depending on the offense, there are times that law has to get involved. Especially if it's child abuse or any other types of abuse or assault. Forgiving is letting go of the feelings to want to hurt back and all the negative emotions that come with it. I'm going to say that again. Forgiving is letting go of the feelings to want to hurt back and all the negative emotions that come with it. Forgiveness is for you. Forgiving facilitates the healing process and keeps a clear, open relationship with God. I heard once somebody say that unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping it works on the person that offended you. Now, when offense hits your heart, guard your heart. Choose not to be offended and forgive. I was in a situation where a particular person hurt me, and I was supposed to go somewhere and preach. And bitterness started to set in. And I went into a private room in my house, and I rebuked that bitterness. I said, I had to talk myself out of that bitterness. Said, I am not going to hold this bitterness. I'm going to choose to let it go. You will not take hold of me. I refuse to be offended. Now, there are times you have to address issues, but I was not going to let that offense and bitterness take hold of me. It was just like I felt something take hold of me. The enemy was trying to take advantage of me and my emotions. But I resisted the enemy. We have to resist the enemy. Say, I'm not going to hold this bitterness. I'm not going to let it get down to me. I'm going to release it, Lord. I choose to release it. I may not be feeling it, but I choose to release it. My feelings will catch up. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You don't want to let those issues get down in there, because when you have relationships with people, when you're talking, and even some pastors when they're preaching, you can hear the offense coming out, the bitterness coming out on the people. Got to let it go. I did not want to go somewhere preaching and spew out on the people my offenses and my emotions and the things that I went through with the person. I wanted this to be pure God, not me. Now, here's some ways of how you really know you have forgiven a person. When the first thought you have about them is not the injury they cause in your life. I'm going to read that over. Some ways in how you really know you've been forgiven is when the first thought you have about them is not the injury they cause in your life. Second, when you can speak of the offense from a point of reference versus a point of pain. You know, some people would just rehearse, and you can still tell it's from pain and not giving an example to help somebody. Sometimes we give an example as a point of reference to help somebody else, but it shouldn't be from a point of pain. Next, when revenge, payback, and retaliation becomes a non-issue. I know there's been some people that have done things to me, and when it was fresh, I wanted to hurt them. I kept thinking about scratching their face. I wanted to get back at them, but I had to release that. So when revenge, payback, and retaliation becomes a non-issue, you know you've forgiven that person. Last one, when you stop hiding behind, I let it go. When you stop hiding behind, I let it go. Letting go is absolutely a part of forgiveness, yes. But how many of our let it goes are simply a feeble attempt to avoid conflict and are buried? Pain. You can't bury the pain because it'll go on for years. You got to let it come out. Now, this one is the last one. When you can fully accept that God loves the offender just as much as he loves you. I got to say that one again. When you can fully accept that God loves the offender just as much as he loves you. Praise the Lord. I had to think about that one for a while. Also, with your inner healing, other ways of inner healing is you got to forgive yourself. Some of us have done things to people. We got to forgive ourselves. We keep rehearsing it over and over in our minds. Or ask the other person for forgiveness. Seek prayer for healing, deliverance, and comfort. Some may need counseling. Remember, the Holy Spirit is the ultimate counselor and comforter. Now, I know people can pray over you on a phone line or at church, but some of us need deliverance and inner healing therapy. Go over the things, talk about them, and release them to God one at a time, and tear down strongholds. We're going to talk a little bit about strongholds. Another way for inner healing is know what the word says about the healing in your soulish realm. Here's some scripture references. Psalms 34:22. The Lord redeemeth the souls of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Psalms 107:9. Sometimes you just need to confess these scriptures over you. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Only he can satisfy. James 1:21, receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save our soul. Jeremiah 30:17, for I will restore health unto you, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. That's one I say a lot for physical healing and inner healing. If I'm starting to feel a certain way or somebody did something to me, I'll say these scriptures. 1 Peter 5:7 again, there we go, even with forgiveness. Cast all your cares and release the hurt and pain and negative emotions daily. At night, Lord, I release any hurt, I release any pain, I release any disappointments, Lord. I choose to give it to you. I don't want to carry it. I don't want to go sleep on it. Deal with any strongholds. Deal with any strongholds. We talked about strongholds and how they come to be. By taking your thoughts captive and renew your mind daily to help you continue to be transformed. Renewing your mind is just reading the word over and over again, thinking about it over and over again. Your emotions will line up when you keep thinking and taking those negative thoughts captive. We know the scripture, 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and then bringing to captivity every negative thought every negative action and under the obedience of Jesus Christ. We got to be pulling down. You know, everybody quotes that scripture, and I believe a lot of people take it so lightly. Because the Bible says that the devil is the prince of the power of the air, and like I said, he will take advantage of all you've been through daily. You know what? His demons and imps, they're on the go. They're doing their job, and they do it well. And we know that the Holy Spirit does his job well. He will remind us of these scriptures, but we got to do our part. First, we got to be reading them, renewing our minds. The Holy Spirit will do the rest, and then we got to speak it out. Holy Spirit's already done his part. We got to do ours. We have to realize who we are in Christ and see ourselves the way God sees us. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Victorious. We are victorious. Thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. But we got to work with what he's already given. I mentioned that in the last lesson. We got to work with what he's given us. Have faith and continue to speak the word of God over your situation, knowing God will turn things around. 2 Corinthians 4:13, this is one of my favorites. We have the same spirit of faith according as what is written. I believe, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We need to be speaking something in the atmosphere, speaking over our health, speaking over our finances, speaking over our mind, speaking over our heart, speaking over our emotions, speaking over our children. The word will work for you if you work it. God didn't just leave it in a book to be written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It's to be lived. It is sure. It will work for you. It takes patience and a lot of faith. Sometimes things don't happen right away, but God will work it. He promised it. Stand up on the promises of God. He will deliver you. And you know what? Because we live in a fallen world, offenses will come. Jesus said clearly in Luke, there's always an opportunity for offenses. So we got to process them and respond to them by the word of God. It is our responsibility to maintain our deliverance and freedom. Release every offense, hurt, and pain to Jesus daily. Closing the door for negative emotions to take hold of you again. Galatians 5:1 says, Christ has set us free to live a free life. So take your stand. This is the message version. So take your stand and never again let anyone put you under a harness of slavery again. Especially the enemy, because the enemy works together with our flesh, our emotions, and then he puts us taking advantage of us on top of it. And then it can cause bondage. If we let him, God has given us the tools. You know, I have to do a lot of talking to myself, especially over the word, speaking the word over my mind. There were a few people in our church this week, on today, that told me there was so much of a struggle this week that the enemy was really bombarding their mind. And I told him, you bombard him back with the word of God. It'll settle down, but he's always going to come back again. And then we got to deal with our flesh. The Bible says that the spirit and the flesh lust against each other. They come against each other. But see, It all depends on the one that will have victory is the one that you feed. The one that you feed. The one that you feed. So I'm going to end this teaching right now, and I'm going to open it up for people to ask questions or comments. I'm going to give this back over to Evangelist Linda.
Well, praise God for inner healing, because I know I've needed it. In the last 39 years that I've been saved, I've needed it many times and going through it now. So I'm Evangelist Linda Casares. Thank you for joining us at Gatekeepers Ministry International Radio Broadcast and Pastor Kim Rivera. Her book is an exciting book called Will the Real You Please Stand Up, Put Your Past Behind You. So this is just a segment from her book, the Lesson 5. We've already gone through 4 lessons. And if you are streaming in to www.blogtalkradio.com/gatekeepers-ministry and you're listening that way on your computer, you can turn the volume off on your computer and dial 929-477-2442, press 1. If you have a prayer request or would like to share something about your story, your need for inner healing, or you've received inner healing, or you want prayer for inner healing, and Pastor Kim would love to pray for you. And so those that have already called in, if you want to speak with Pastor Kim for any reason, you can press 1 and I'll open your mic. Well, praise God, today was First Sunday and Communion Sunday, and certainly just hearing the words from the scriptures helps us to get inner healing, especially when we hear about Jesus Christ dying on the cross for us. And what a royal blessing that is to a sinner that doesn't know that happened for them. And when they come into the knowledge of their Lord and Savior and accept Christ as their Lord and Savior, what a wonderful, magnificent joy comes into the life. You remember when that first happened to you and the zeal that you had for years and years?
Yeah.
And then somebody did something to you in the church that you didn't expect it. And you're baffled and you're puzzled and can't understand how that happened, why it happened. Those things cause wounds and hurts and offenses, and we have to learn how to guard ourselves from offenses. But Jesus said to Peter, "You have offended me. You have been a great offense to me." So even Jesus got offended at what Peter said. So if you would like to share something, if this broadcast has helped you at all, and I know the last 4 have helped many, certainly have helped me, you can press 1 after you've called in, and I'll open your mic, and you can share your heart with Pastor Kim. We just thank and praise God for the broadcast tonight. So we have a caller. The last 4 digits are 2885. May I have your name, caller?
Good evening, Elaine.
Hi, Elaine. Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you? How are you, Evangelist Linda and Pastor Kim? God bless you both.
Thank you.
Amen. I do have a question for Pastor Kim. As she was talking about inner healing, and which was a really good topic and something that I am in the process of as well. So thank you for Pastor Kim for your enlightenment and just your the word that God has put in to you and being obedient. But the question that I do have is, you spoke briefly about distorted thinking as one of the manifestations of being hurt or having unforgiveness or bitterness. Is that also connected to having a victim mentality? Because you mentioned that it's victim mentality is a learned behavior, but are those two connected? And is distorted thinking a learned behavior as well?
Yes, a lot of it is demonically induced.
Okay.
And if you take advantage of, just like, what is it, when people are rejected or abused, a lot of times distorted assumptions will come in to assume things about people. They automatically think somebody's looking down on them or talking about them or doing something negative towards them, or they're, what's the word I'm looking for, they're paranoid. They become paranoid because they've been offended so much. They become paranoid thinking that people are coming against them when they're really not.
Okay.
So these two do work together. I'm the victim. I've even done that. Heard somebody say my name, and they could be saying something good across the room, you know, years ago or even now. What they say about me, and we always want to think to the negative instead of the positive. So yes, they do work together.
Okay. Amen. Praise God. I had another question, but you answered it already. An example, if it's okay to share. I had someone told me that I hated them, and I never said that to them. I've shown love to this person. I've said I love them, but they didn't receive that, and they respond in saying that I hate them.
Yes, that could be assumptions.
Okay.
Distorted thinking on how you feel about them. That's like perceived rejection.
Okay.
Not really rejection, like I talked about with David and Saul. Because the people sang about David killing his hundred thousands, and Saul only killing tens of thousands. He perceived that the people were rejecting him, and it was distorted thinking. So automatically, he came against David.
Wow. Okay. Amen. Amen. Yeah, that's brought clarity. Thank you so much, Pastor Kim. I appreciate that.
You know what? I have a question. It's similar to what the young lady just said, Pastor Kim. It's something how people can intentionally and deliberately do things that you would think that they know that will offend you or hurt you in some kind of way. And then they turn it around and say, you hate them. And you've done nothing to them. You've not mistreated them. You've been supportive of them. You have verbally stated that you love them. But they're the ones, that person is the one that has attacked you repeatedly and have said things against you and labeled you and whatever, and did you wrong and betrayed you, but then they tell other leaders that this person, that she hates me. You know, so they know in their mind that they did something that would warrant the person to hate them. But you're not guilty of hating them. I've never known that to be so real as it's been in my life in a specific situation. And for somebody, I never hated anybody when I wasn't saved. I didn't even think on that level. Usually if something went on between me and my friends, we talked it out, ironed it out, or said see ya. And there was no problem after that. There was no bad feelings. I wasn't a gossiper when I wasn't saved. You know, I was too busy, you know, having my fun sexing and getting high and partying and just, you know, doing things that unsaved women do that are out there partying and trying to enjoy life, raising my daughter. And but this is something that has happened to me. And I was listening to her say that, and And if the person never said to me that I hate her, but I know that she has said it to other people. And but if she came to me and said that, I would say, why do you think that?
Yeah.
And because name something that I've done to you that would be evidence of me hating you. And to say that a Christian hates, that's terminal. That is really bad business talk, because God is not about none of that. You know, and so when you're walking in love and somebody places that on you with their words, and you know that they did, I just want to share my feelings with my sister, because I felt where she was coming from when she shared with you what the person said to her. And I still have your mic open, young lady, and I wanted to ask you, when that person said to you that you hate her, what did you say?
I asked, why is that? Where did that come from? And the person has not yet been able to verbalize really specifically why they think that I feel that way about them, when that's completely not true.
Yeah, well, at least she wasn't a coward, and she said it directly to you. This person has not said it directly to me, and but I know for a fact that it's been said to other people in leadership. So just to make me look like I'm walking in not in love, okay? So if somebody actually came to me and said to me, that person hates me, I would first ask them, well, number one, why do you think that? Number two, what did you do what did you do to them to make you think that they hate you? That's what I would ask. Those are the two things I would ask if someone came to me with that. But nobody's ever come to me with that. But I refuse to take that on, because I walk in love, and there's evidence of it, of my love walk. And so I just want to encourage you that people can say all kinds of stuff about you to make themselves feel better, you know, because there's something in their heart towards you. So, you know, you may never get an answer from her.
It's been happening, it was said to me and to others as well. So I got like both ends of it, where other people came to me and told me that a specific person has said that. So it has, I know that it's not true. I don't feel that way about that person, about the individual or anything like that. However, I can't control how they feel. I can only control how I feel, and I know what's true. And I don't have to prove that to anybody, as long as I'm living my life for God, and God knows who I am and how He created me and what I'm walking in, and it's to serve Him and to serve others, not to put that wrongful depiction of character on me, because that's not my character. I'm just thankful that I'm not walking in the wrong way about it, or thinking about it in the way that, you know, needing to get back or anything like that, because it's not true. So a statement that's not true, that's false, you know, I can't entertain it. So
So Pastor Kim, why do you think people do that, say that?
A lot of them got strongholds, and it's a clear evidence that they still got some trauma going on, or results of trauma, and they need inner healing. The biggest thing
Why would they say it about someone that loves them, that's never done anything to them?
A lot of it is pride that makes them feel better.
That's what I thought. It makes them feel better.
Pride, yeah, it can cause contention and strife and make other people, when they say it to other people, that they want other people to look down on that person also. And it can cause contention and strife and division in churches, in families. And if the person's got a serious stronghold that they need to be delivered from, the only thing you can do is just state truth and don't try to prove anything to anybody, and pray for them.
Right, pray for them.
Sometimes you got to keep
Amen.
The distance from them.
Yeah. Praise God. Well, I'm thankful. I'm glad. I just wanted to add to that because you're not the only one that happens to, but at least the person came directly to your face and said it to you. But this person has not, and I don't believe they ever will. So I think that right there needed to be addressed.
Amen.
So
Amen.
I thank you, young lady, for sharing your heart and being
thank
transparent.
You.
Yeah,
yes.
So if someone else that has called in and dialed 929-477-2442 and you would like to share something on your heart, you need inner healing for something, you've heard our conversation, and certainly we're transparent. I think God wants matters settled. I don't think that he wants things lingering. You know, we can repent to God for what we do, but God demands us to go to our brother that we did it to. And I should say church leaders, because I'm a church leader, so it's happened to me among leaders. And I don't find that consistent with leadership. I believe and feel deeply in my heart that it is the will of God for me to go to you if there's a problem, and if you keep me at arm's length, then you got the problem. Because any time that you're trying to iron things out, settle matters, maintain unity, reconcile, that is for which Christ died. He died for us to be reconciled with the Father, but he also died for us to repent and be clean with our brothers and our sisters. And I find that as long as people are still bringing in the bucks, making their way up the ladder, shining bright, and nobody knows the behind closed doors stuff that they're doing or have done, but the individuals that they have stepped on or hurt, And no attempts to make it right. I find that so unscriptural. And how much love can you have for Jesus when you know for a fact that you've never even made an attempt to make it right? I think that God holds us accountable, that he forgives our sin, but to whom much is given, much is required. And that there has to be other truths in the Bible other than, if I confess this, then God has forgiven me, and the rest is on them because they have to forgive me. Well, okay, so God forgives you, and the other person forgives you, but still the relationship is damaged. Somebody walks away damaged, hurt, and wounded, and you walk away saying, oh, God has forgiven me, which is a false freedom. Because you can be forgiven, but God says you're supposed to be maintaining that fellowship and that relationship with this person that you know in your heart that you deliberately and intentionally talked against, said this, labeled, and hurt them. So, and the thing about it is the person doesn't even have to be hurt anymore. I mean, the hurt concerning myself is really not there anymore. But the whole idea that this has been done on a repeated basis, like over a year of times, over time, in many different ways, I rest in this. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. And just like you said, many's going to come and say, Lord, Lord, I did this in your name, I did that in your name. And he's going to say, name five five sheep that you stepped on, that you sinned against, and you never made it right.
Yeah.
And he'll say, I never knew you.
Yeah. There's actually scriptures that say when you come to worship and give your offering, and if you have offense with anybody or any problem with anybody, you go and get it straight first.
Mm-hmm.
Then you come
mm-hmm.
back. And I know on when we do communion, we give time for people to make it straight. Me and my husband, we go up first and we tell everybody if we've done anything to offend you, forgive us. And there was even a particular lady in our church. I didn't like some of the things she'd done, and I had some things against her in my heart. I really did. And because of things that she would do or say to me, that they weren't right. I didn't go telling
mm-hmm.
everybody things like that, but
mm-hmm.
I just had something against her, and I was holding
mm-hmm.
on to it. And when we had communion, I went and hugged her, and I told her I loved her in the name of Jesus, and if I've done anything wrong, forgive me, we made it right, and then we give people a few minutes, make it right. Husbands and wives, make it right now, right now before you take communion, before you come to worship God, before you come to give your offering to God. Let's get it right corporately, and you should do it individually. So every
mm-hmm.
time we do communion, we give people opportunity to get that thing right.
Mm-hmm. Praise God. And that's true freedom. And that's a true believer. Because when you make it right in the sight of the Lord, you have favor with the Lord. You know, I think favor, I think I have learned in the last maybe 10 years that favor is how much money you have. Or your fabulous home, or your fine car, or your leadership position, that's favor. But I don't see any anointing in your ministry. I don't see any. I heard Christine Kane on a Facebook clip talk about gift and the anointing. You can have the gift, but I want the anointing. And that's what I've been saying for umpteen years. I know we all got gifts, so you can have the gift. I want the anointing, because just like she said, it's the anointing that destroys the yoke. It's
yeah.
the anointing that helps me get through things. It's the anointing that's going, that when I lay hands on you, that the Lord is going to minister to you, that yoke is going to break. That, I mean, I didn't get to church today because I was out so late last night helping someone cater a party. And I realized when I was in my kitchen cooking with my roommates that it was Communion Sunday. And I hate to miss Communion Sunday. But one of my roommates had on their pastor on the computer in the kitchen, so we were all listening to him. And then when it came time for communion, we all quieted down. I got out my little cups and the matzah and the host that come with the cups, and we took communion with him. And one thing I heard him say, the typical things that everybody says about about communion, but he said, if you're not a follower of Jesus, and I don't want to single you out. You can become a follower right now, but if you're not a follower of Jesus, this is what we're going to do as believers. You know, I never hear pastors instruct unbelievers not to take communion on Communion Sunday. But he said that, and then he prayed over the bread and the juice, and it was such a presence of God in the kitchen, and we were going along with the worship and everything, and I just began to weep at the presence of God and the anointing that I felt. See, that's what I want.
Yeah.
I have to have the anointing. And see, you can be dirty with your gift, but you can't get the anointing dirty. The anointing is only going to be used. See, that's why I say you can't rob the Holy Ghost. You can't influence him. You can't use him. You can't you can't deceive him. He's only going to show up through a clean vessel. And that's what I want, Pastor Kim. That's what I want. So if the relationship, unless God says it's time to move on from that relationship, move on in a nice way, then that's what you do, because we grow out of certain circles and stuff like that, and you move on, and you try not for anybody's feelings to be hurt, and we try to be all mature Christians about this is where God's taking me and this is where God's taking you. Let's just bless each other, and we'll talk some other time. But I want that anointing, that I want to increase in the anointing so that I can lead more souls to Christ and not be concerned about all the stuff behind closed doors. I just want to get away from that and just move on in the Lord and do what glorifies him. And I believe relationships glorify him. It glorifies him for us to maintain our relationship with him and our fellowship. And that's what we're here. We're here for fellowship with one another. And you can't have fellowship where there's strife and envy and all that stuff going on. And people in the church want to be envied. I've seen a demonstration of a female pastor that wanted people to envy her. Made an out open expression, body language, that she wants to be envied. That's of the devil. God hates envy. That's not God. So let me give it back to you. And if anybody that has called in, you can press 1. I want to give a shout out to my friend Renee that's listening on the line. Thank you, for Renee, for being so supportive of this ministry, and also supportive of Pastor Kim's ministry, calling in every Sunday evening. God bless you. So anybody else that has called in, the last 4 digits of your number is 5499. May I have your name, caller?
Nancy White.
Hello, Nancy. How you doing?
I was listening to everything you were saying, and I appreciate the knowledge that you have, and I appreciate you sharing the information. The question that I have is, let the pain and hurt stop. Enter healing. How do you stop the pain of the pain that people can put on you when it's not true? Like my daughter was saying that somebody said, well, her sister said that she hated her, and I know that my family is supposed to be better than that. And as far as I know, I don't want no hatred. I don't want to be around hatred. You know what I'm saying? And I'm sure she doesn't want to be there in hatred either. That's why I know she don't hate her sister. I think she loves her. And I believe that more than anything else in the world, I have 2 fine daughters, and I'm the mother. And I want to find out how you get the pain in her to stop. So that's why I'm calling this evening.
Can only grief be through prayer and committing it to God. Because we can't make it stop, choose to give it to God and pray for the person. Pray for the person, the people. Bible says when Job prayed for his friend, your 2 daughters, you love him, God blessed him. So pray for the people. Ask God to deal with the issues in your heart and even to deal with the children that you have. Because we can't make
it. Can you pray for me for that?
Yes, we can't make anybody do anything.
No, you can't make them do anything, but you can pray for them right now, right?
Yes, you can pray. Yes, you can. You can always pray. Prayer works. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. I have an aunt that got saved when she was 19, and she prayed for the family to come in, and people have come in one by one over the years. Prayer works. So let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, I ask that you deal with the hurt, deal with the pain of the situation with the children, Lord. Father, I ask that you restore the family, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I tear down strongholds in people's minds right now in the name of Jesus. Father, deal with the trauma, Lord. Bring inner healing right now, Father, right down to their soul, right down to their heart, Father. Take root, Father, and produce fruit in their life. Father, deal with the mother. It's hurtful to see the children in the condition that they are in, Father, or the strife, Lord, or one saying one and one saying another thing, Lord. Father, deal with the situation, Lord. Father, heal her heart, Lord, in the name of Jesus right now. Go deep, Father. Go deeper than deep and help her to cast all her cares unto you because she can't do it. Only you can do it, Father, in the name
Amen.
Of Jesus. And help her, Father, to try not to do it, Father. Sometimes, in the name of Jesus, amen and amen. I want to tell you this. Sometimes we try to do it and we mess it up.
That's right. I don't want to do that.
So mess it up. You let God do that thing. I know there are times when our children do things, we have to speak up. But as we're trying to bring the relationship together or to deal with the situation, you got to let God do that. I know it's hurtful.
It is very, very hurtful. It hurts me to my heart, you know, that I have two kids and I have three kids, but I have two girls that are well rounded. But this thing about hate, I don't agree with that. Elaine doesn't hate anybody. If anything, she loves people, and I want to say that because she's lovely, and she's a young girl, and she's lovely. You know what I'm saying? So the older sister, the one that said that you hate me, I think she was out of place to say that to her baby sister.
Well, we'll continue to pray about the situation. You continue to give it to God. Give it to God. And don't allow any strife and any contention in your home. Don't allow it. There's nothing wrong with telling them, look, when we get together, we're not going to have this here. We're going to get along. If we can't get along, then move away from where I'm at. We will have peace in my home. I've had to do that. I've known other people that have to do that. That's your home. God gave it to you. You dedicate it to the Lord. Dedicate that home to the Lord. Let you know I'm not going to have that contention and strife in my home. We will get along when we're together. And continue to pray. And we'll be praying for you. I'm going to write your name down. And we're going to continue to pray for you, Nancy, okay?
Okay. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else you wanted to say?
No, that was all. That I had some more notes I had written down, but that's the pressing one there. And I hope that Elaine isn't mad with me because I shared the situation, but I had to get it out because I didn't think it was right either for her to say that to her baby sister. So.
Okay.
Because that's what I wanted to talk about, that healing. Make a decision for forgiveness.
Yes. We'll just pray for that, for whoever needs to forgive. I don't know which one have done what, but we will pray for any forgiveness to be done.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Well, we appreciate all of you that have called in or are streaming in. And if you've streamed in and you'd like to share something with us, You can turn the volume off your off on your computer and dial 929-477-2442 and join in the conversation, share, comment, or give your prayer requests. We're really appreciative of you being supportive of the broadcast and calling in. This is Pastor Kim's last night on this topic, on this series from her book, but it won't be the last time that she's on the broadcast, praise God. So if you have called in and you would like to share or speak with Pastor Kim, just press 1 and I'll open your mic. Otherwise, Pastor Kim, I just wanted to say that these have been the most extraordinary, helpful broadcast messages, lessons that you have brought forth to us in the last 5 weeks that really concern the soul and the spirit and an examination in people's heart. And really how to get things done, which helps us as individuals, leaders, and believers. And so I'm grateful for you taking the time out to minister from your book on the broadcast. And I'm going to take a break for the next couple Sundays, but Thursday we're having a broadcast on crowns. The crowns that the believer can receive in heaven for doing specific things faithfully that glorify God, not glorify self, not to get the glory, not to walk in pride, but to serve the Lord with gladness. And he has crowns laid up in heaven for us. And I'm excited about that. If I don't receive nothing down here, I know I got some waiting for me up there. Hallelujah. So would anyone else like to speak? Just press 1 and I'll open your mic. Otherwise, Pastor Kim, is there something else you'd like to share? Anything going on in your ministry?
I'm just grateful to be able to teach. The Lord has put on my heart that there's many people suffering from inner turmoil and trauma, and being a life coach, when I would, you know, when I was doing one-on-one coaching, now I do group coaching, I was getting a lot of women like that. Not too many men, maybe one or two, but mostly women, that when they began to talk, it turned more into a counseling session than it did coaching, because they were dealing with inner healing. And I just believe that the Lord wanted me to write a book on that, and also to expose what the enemy is doing to people, because a lot of people aren't really aware that the enemy takes advantage of all the negative and abuses and things that they've been through and all the offenses, and they think it's them. Part of it is them because of how they respond, but part of it is the enemy taking advantage of it, and especially children. They don't know how to process it. That's why they need counsel. So I just want us to be aware, to expose what the enemy is doing so that we can be delivered and set free in our mind. And when our mind is set right, it will come out in our actions in the name of Jesus. So that was one reason why I wrote the book. I thank you again for the opportunity. I do the woman's group coaching. Our last one for this year was just last week. I am going to start again in February, the first Saturday of February. And then I'll be on Periscope also, too. And if anybody wants to come by and visit the church, we are in Riverside, New Jersey. You can just go and see everything on our website, which is UnitedRemnantMinistries.com. And I am going to be praying for Nancy and Elaine, the people that called in. And that's all I have. We do have a Facebook.
Yeah, I was going to say, were you ministering on Facebook yesterday at late afternoon?
Yes, on Pride.
Okay, because Pride. I was helping someone with their catering business, and they were running late, so I brought Facebook up on my phone, and I listened to some of your ministry. And the people that were in the room were saying, well, who is that? and I was telling them who you were, and I did hear you addressing pride.
Amen. Glory to God.
So you're at the church on Saturday doing that?
Every first Saturday of the month, and then about every 2 weeks or so, I'll get on Periscope as the Lord leads.
Okay.
Yeah.
Praise
if
God.
You, if you follow me, it'll bleep
just
your phone.
Come up. Yeah. Right. Right. Well,
but
we just give God all the praise. Go ahead.
Yeah, we're dealing with diseases of the soul, unforgiveness, pride, sexual sin, and I'm taking a lot of it from a book that I read on diseases of the soul and some things that God gave me. It's excellent. We actually did that book in Bible study. That book, you really, by Deborah Delbridge, Delbridge, yes, it really makes you examine yourself. Because I believe that God is about to really elevate people and exalt people, because the Bible says that, you know, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and in due time you will be exalted. And we don't want to take these diseases of the soul with us, because if we do, we'll be shipwrecked. So we're trying to deal with people now first, so that they'll be able to accomplish those things that God wants them to accomplish without going shipwrecked. There's so many leaders and pastors and even people that have businesses that, they don't deal with the things that's going on in the inside of them, the endemic nature, the diseases of the soul, and they don't deal with them. They're prideful, they're in denial, and they need to deal with these things. I want God to deal with me. I don't care how long it takes, but we know that the time it takes is depending on how quickly we will surrender to God and submit things to God. But I would rather deal with these things earlier in our ministry before we, you know, go deeper into the ministry and we go shipwreck. I've seen so many leaders that's happened to, and so many people in their businesses that's happened to. Greed. No self-control. And I'm talking about God's people.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's what the most of the scripture is to God's people.
Yeah, that is so true. And a lot of people think, some people think it's not. It's
Some
of the stuff, sinners, like the one, the wages of sin is death. A lot of people think that, I mean, we use that as an outreach scripture. But if you look at that scripture and all the contents around that, that's speaking to God's people. Specifically.
Yeah.
You know, all the word is for us, but there's certain things in the Bible where God is speaking to specific groups of people. And that scripture is speaking to God's people.
Yeah. Yeah, I know as a soul winner, that is a scripture that we use, you know, because it's short, it's brief. But along with other scriptures and our own testimony, and just reaching out with the love of God to unbelievers and backsliders. But it's really ignorant to think that these scriptures don't apply to the believer. You know, to toss them aside and think that they only apply to the unbeliever is ignorance, because there's so much sin in the body of Christ, and it doesn't have to be sexual. It's a lot of gossiping and tearing down and tailbearing and just abuse of one another and lying to one another like it was nothing.
Yeah.
You know, I was raised up under such pastors with so much integrity that I told my pastor from the Philadelphia church, I looked at you as my Peter, and I felt that in that meeting, if that person lied on me, they would drop dead. Well, he thought that was very amusing, but I really did. I really did think that, and and because the person was a church leader that lied on me. And I was devastated when I left that meeting, and it wasn't settled like I wanted it settled. And two other pastors, one pastor that was in that meeting and another pastor that was waiting for the outcome of the meeting, begged me not to leave the church because they knew I was telling the truth. So God vindicated me in less than a year. And I met with the senior pastor after that. And he said, Linda, what made you think that I didn't believe you? I said, the way you ended the meeting. And that's when I told him, I said, you were my Peter. I thought that if they lied on me, they would drop dead. That's how much fear of the Lord I walk in. And so he said, oh, no, no. He said, I had to handle that meeting that way because he's a pastor.
Yeah.
But he said, I knew you were telling the truth. So, you know, it's nothing like vindication. Hallelujah. God will bring it in his time. And sometimes it hurts while you're waiting, but he will bring it. And I had the support of the other pastors that they knew what was going on, that helped also. So, you know, when you're young in the Lord, this is the kind of stuff that will make you leave a church and leave God.
Well, I went through some of that stuff, too.
You know, yeah, that's critical stuff, and the Lord monitors that kind of stuff. So inner healing is essential. When you're a babe in Christ, you might not even know how to get it, you know, but if you stay walking with the Lord and stay in the Word, he'll lead you to a God-fearing mentor that'll hold your confidence. And I just believe that for every listener, because it's terrible when you share something with somebody and they go outside the office and talk about it. That person should be stripped of their title, position, paycheck, and everything else doing that kind of stuff. But that promotes people not to trust. So I'm just blessed by this broadcast, and I believe all the listeners have been, and I thank God for you. And this is the last call. If you are listening to on your computer and you want to call in and have something to say, turn your volume off and dial 929-477-2442. Press 1, and you'll have a chance to speak. I'm only going to wait another couple seconds. If you've already called in, press 1, and I'll open your mic. Excuse me?
Can I make a response? What you were saying about vindication.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And we all tend to want justice, and that's part of us. However, we still have to pray for that person and understand that God still loves that person just as much as he loves us, even though they were wrong. My prayer is for God to deal with the person to the point where they change and they don't do it to anybody else and don't do it to the person they've done it to before. That's the biggest thing. Is where change happens. And for God to have mercy upon us. Because sometimes they're proud. And you might want to listen to the whole broadcast on pride. And God will resist the proud. But he gives grace to the humble. And a lot of them will not apologize, get it right, because they're proud. It will make them look bad in front of people, especially if they've been successful. But we pray for God to deal with them and change their heart and their mind. But if they don't change, God will allow seasons of pain in their life.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, praise God. And I do pray like that. But I did have a mentor that told me, but that pointed out, if you pray so long for a person, you're not able to let it go. So at some point, you have to, in praying for that person that may have done something to you, don't harbor it. Don't let the praying allow you to cause you to harbor the bad feelings or what was done to you. So that was just a little bit of wisdom.
Amen.
So we thank God. Pastor Kim, would you like to close us out in prayer?
Yes. Father, in the name of Jesus, We thank you for the words that were spoken, Father, on inner healing. Father, I pray that every listener right now, Father, that you will give them inner healing, help them to let go of the things of the past so that it won't take hold of their future, Lord, in the name of Jesus, or hinder their future, Lord. We rebuke, Father, anything that the enemy is trying to take advantage of, Father, in them, Father. Tell Father, we help them to tear down the strongholds, Father, in the name of Jesus, and bring them under the obedience of Jesus Christ, Father. Help them to acknowledge and admit that they need it, Father. Let them know that you love them and they got worth, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, help them to repent, Father, of the negative behaviors due to the inner wounds. Father, help them to make a decision, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, to forgive, Father. Help them to even forgive themselves, Father, in the name of Jesus. I speak healing and deliverance over them. Father, I speak that you comfort them the only way that you know how, Lord, in the name of Jesus, through your Holy Spirit. Let them not look for comfort through other means, Father. Only you can satisfy
Hallelujah.
The longing of the heart, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Help them to
yes.
use the scriptures, Father, in the name of Jesus, to speak over their lives, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let them know that they don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but spiritual principalities and powers. Father, help
yes.
them to take them down. We take them down right now in the name of Jesus. I
yes,
speak deliverance. I speak healing. I speak restoration, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Root out, tear down, Father, and destroy anything in them that's not like you, Lord. I rebuke
Thank
all
you,
these
Lord.
Symptoms, Father, in the name of Jesus. Turn the
yes.
situations around, Lord. And I speak, Father,
Hallelujah.
That every crooked place be made straight. Break every yoke
yes.
of bondage, Lord. Every chain
Hallelujah.
Over them, Lord. In the name of Jesus, give them double for their trouble, Lord. Let them put on
Hallelujah.
The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness.
Hallelujah.
I rebuke any depression right now in the name of Jesus. And Father,
Hallelujah.
I just thank you for this broadcast. Continue to bless my sister, Lord, in leaps and bounds, Father, abundantly, Father.
Hallelujah.
Give her blessings. Widen the scope, Father, of this broadcast,
Thank
Lord.
Jesus.
Send more people, Lord, that can come on our broadcast. Make it easy for her, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And to continue to
yes.
bless her life and her children and her grandchildren, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Even that issue that we prayed about, Father, I have not forgotten about that on the first broadcast, Lord. Let there be a reconciliation, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Father. And I thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
And I'm expecting her to call me one day, and that everything has worked out for the good of those that
Hallelujah.
Love the Lord and
yes.
call according to his purpose, Father. And we just thank you for what you're doing. And, Father, we're going to live in expectation that you're going to do great things. And I thank you, Father, again, for the opportunity, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And sister, I thank you again for the opportunity. Looking forward to coming back again, maybe sometimes in February, however the
okay.
Lord leads you.
Yes. Well, I appreciate you, Pastor Kim, and I appreciate those that have been diligent in calling in or listening by way of streaming. And
yes,
so we're going to sign off right now. Thank you for the prayer. And I just want to say, only what you do for Christ will last.
Amen.
Have a good night and have God dreams. God bless you.
God bless you.